The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Now it's taken back by Jost. A little behind-the-back pass looking for O'Reilly breaking in. He kicked it in his skates. He cuts behind his net. He slips away from the Sharks' Dickinson, but he's checked there nicely by some help from Adam Gaudette, and the puck skips free. Problem is, Ferraro couldn't get it, and O'Reilly gets it back to the point. Shea the drive. Score! Now it's 5-1 in favor of Nashville. As Brady Shea, the beneficiary of some hard work by Ryan O'Reilly in the offensive end, taking that shot toward the net. I'm not sure if it was tipped in front, but either way, it is a 5-1 Nashville lead in a really rough period for the Sharks. Again, O'Reilly got the puck, and it was fed back to the point. There were two layers of traffic in front for Brady Shea to fire the puck through, but that's just old-fashioned work by Ryan O'Reilly as he stole the puck away from Ferraro. Worked away from a check from Gaudette, and then on the point, the quick shot, and Brady Shea was able to sneak it through.
So that was how we have to play the entire, from here going forward. I mean, it's simple hockey. We didn't, you know, we get the puck in the zone, and then we're free to make plays. Absolutely, we have a lot of skill in this locker room, a lot of talent. When we get in the zone, you know, that's where the creativity is going to come out. But we have to get in the zone, first of all. We can't take pucks back. We can't delay momentum, delay, and it just sets them up into their system and their structure that they want to get in, and then we're trying to figure out what we're trying to do. We got five guys on five different pages, and it's not winning hockey. So, you saw in the second. Yeah, they probably sat back a little bit there in the second and third period. They got a four-goal lead after both periods. Like, you know, they weren't cheating the game. They weren't going to cheat for offense, and. And it's hard, and we controlled a lot of the play, and we started putting pucks on net, and chaos ensued. We got a few goals just because we put pucks to the net. That's how you're going to win, and that's how you're going to score at this time of year. You're not going to score pretty goals like, you know, making 3-4 passes in the end zone and finding a guy wide open back door. It's just not going to happen. So we need to take what we can from these last two periods and find a way to just move on.
All right, good morning, everyone. The San Jose Sharks did not show up to start that game last night, did play later and made it more of a competitive affair, but we could all see that when you fall behind 5-1 in the first period, it's not going to go well from there, and it did not do well for the Sharks' playoff hopes last night as they dropped their fifth in a row. They have not picked up a single point in any of those games. 32, 31, and 6. That's 32 and 37 overall on the year. 70 points. Two back of fifth place, Winnipeg. They are two back of fourth place, Seattle. Four back of third place, LA. Seven back of second place, Nashville now. 10 points back of Utah. San Jose is still within relative striking distance of the Pacific Division. 8 points back of Vegas. 9 points back of Edmonton. 14 points back of Anaheim. But I think more and more the writing is on the wall that this team, as we've said many times as of late, is just quote-unquote not there yet. And I know that's not something that people want to hear. They want to see the San Jose Sharks as this team that's ready to go, that is ready to fight for a playoff spot. But I think that in these two big games in the last, you know, week and a half where they've played against Edmonton, and to be honest, they're all big games, but specifically against Edmonton and against a team like Nashville, two teams that at the time were right there with them in the playoff race, or right there as the team they're trying to track down, to watch San Jose not be able to have the big performance they need to start those games, to not be able to come up with the clutch moments, I think it's telling. And I don't think it's an indictment. I think the San Jose Sharks are still massively ahead of where they were supposed to be this year, But I do think that it's overall telling in the sense that they're just not that type of a team yet. They can, on any given night, show up and beat good teams in the NHL. That's not a question at this point. They have some of the most skilled talent in the NHL. But as a collective, as a team, you're still talking about Michael Mesa, a rookie. You're still talking about Sam Dickinson, a rookie. You're talking about Will and Mac, second-year players. You know, Colin Graf, this is his first full season. Yaroslav Askarov, this is his first full season in the NHL. You know, these are your core players. Shakir Mukhmudulin still trying to find where he was a year ago at the end of the season before he got hurt, but he's relatively inexperienced in the NHL, still figuring things out for an NHL player. You know, you go down the list, you know, William Eklund, you know, he's still a younger player in this league trying to figure things out. Igor Chernyshov, this is his first year in the NHL. It's not even close to a full season, but, you know, you're talking about your key players. We're talking about, you know, a lot of the guys on the top two lines. We're talking about, you know, a lot of the guys that are, you know, you're looking for to make differences in games. And I have no doubt that in, you know, the following years, these guys will consistently be able to make more of a difference from the start of the game to the finish of the game. But I think you also have to be realistic about where these teams are right now and where they are going to be in the next couple of years. And the San Jose Sharks have accelerated this year. Again, if you told me at the beginning of the year that they were going to have 32 wins, I would have said, that's great. That's a phenomenal season. Because they were able to thrust themselves into the playoff mix and maintain it for so long, expectations started to go up. And listen, there is still a chance here that the Sharks go on a run. I do not put that out of the realm of possibilities. I just have to go off of the past performances being an indication of future performances. That's all we can do. And that's why I've been saying for a while that the Sharks, more than, you know, being a playoff team or something around a 500 team, that might be starting to slip away. But you've got winnable games coming up against Columbus and St. Louis. St. Louis first and then Columbus. Then you're home against St. Louis, you know, even though St. Louis is hot on San Jose's heels, by the way. And then, you know, you look into the month of April and you got those games at home, and that's when it's going to be, you know, all figured out. You're home, you know, on the first, second, fourth, sixth, eighth. You're home for five, and then you got away for one at Anaheim and then back home against Vancouver. And then you're out on the road for three, Nashville, Chicago, Winnipeg. I mean, it could still come down to the very final few games of the season. I'm not putting that out of the realm of possibility. I just have to look at what I am seeing. And the San Jose Sharks, you know, are kind of reverting back to some of the problems they've had in the past. And I think that's just because they're running out of gas, or they're running out of steam, or however you want to phrase it. They're just not making the clean plays when they need to. They're not establishing the zone. They're having trouble with the breakouts. They're trying to do too much. They're gripping. They're trying to make passes that aren't quite there because they're not finding the other answers as easily as they were previously. And my only summation of that is that they just are, you know, kind of running out of a little bit of that burst, a little bit of that skip in their step that they had previously. And that's okay. Again, I'm not trying to say that this is an indictment and be one of those hot take guys that's, oh, the San Jose Sharks don't have it now. They'll never have it. No, this team is pointed in the right direction. They are going to be very, very good, if not great, in the next few seasons. And I think it's going to happen rapidly. I think we're going to watch an ascension that is going to be impressive, for lack of a better term. But right now, you can just see where some of the flaws are. They still have trouble with turnovers. They still have trouble with, you know, holding on to the puck. They still have trouble establishing the zone. If you watch the more veteran, experienced teams in the NHL, those are things that they do very, very well. They understand how to get in. I mean, we saw there was a power play later in the game last night when the Sharks were trying to get back into it. You know, Nashville just put four guys up at the blue line and dared the Sharks to break through. They couldn't. That's because there's more experience on that Nashville side. And San Jose doesn't quite know how to handle those expectations, especially when you're also without a Tyler Toffoli last night, which doesn't help. You would hope that the Sharks would get a little bit of a bump soon with getting Ty Dellandrea back because of what he does as a responsible player both sides of the ice. But you can just see that there's the experience lacking. And this is what the whole season or the rebuild is for right now, to where you can gain that experience. If the Sharks can force the issue and get back into the playoff race, that would be phenomenal. I'd love for that to happen. I would love for them to continue to play these big games. But I think that when we've seen them show up for these big games and not have that performance from the start, it is relatively telling about where they are, where they have been, and where they need to go. They are still pulling themselves out of the rebuild. They are still figuring things out. We are still watching Macklin Celebrini do remarkable things at a young age in the NHL. And I know some people are going to point to it and say, well, he's not where, you know, Sidney Crosby and, you know, Connor McDavid were in their second year. Well, they were on better teams. And I think that's just what you have to be very, very honest about. And that's what San Jose is trying to establish for the future, is they don't want to try and hurry anything up because they are in no hurry. You know, obviously you take advantage of every situation that you have, and you never know what's going to happen in the future in terms of injury and or more. But right now you are trying to see what the San Jose Sharks can build from the ground up. We look at what's going to happen this offseason, because I think they obviously need to figure things out on the defensive end. You know, you're looking right now at a restricted free agent of Shakir Mukmadulin. You have Dmitry Orlov. You have Sam Dickinson. You know, beyond that, you have to start wondering, is it going to be Kanyoni, I should say, from the Barracuda? Are you going to see Polkamp? What are you going to see in terms of free agency? And, you know, if we look up and down that lineup, you know, the forwards are not the issue per se, not that they have been specifically the answer, but I think you've got a little bit more depth there. And then, you know, you got to figure out with Askarov if he can get his game going again. And I hope he gets the chance to do so before the end of this season, because there's a lot of back-to-backs coming up, and I would imagine that he'll be ready to go. But, you know, the San Jose Sharks, you know, are getting a very level-headed assessment of what they are and what they are not at this point. And they are young. They are inexperienced. They are not, again, quote-unquote, there yet. And that's what I keep on coming back to. But that's what this season is for. You know, if we want to say that last year was for player development of your young future stars, and you still had to, you know, lose 20 games or win only 20 games and lose 72, okay, I'm fine with that. If you had to look back to the season before that and say that, you know, you were just going to be bottoming out as you were really getting into the low depths of the rebuild, okay, because you can see now that it is paying off for San Jose. But now you are at a point in this rebuild where you've got a couple years of experience under your, you know, big two highest draft picks, as well as a year for Michael Mesa. So you got experience for those guys. You've got experience for Sam Dickinson. You know, your acquisition Askarov, your acquisition Mukmadulin, and you've got experience for them. You know, you've got Nedeljkovic locked up for a couple more years. You've got Wemberg here. You've got Eklund here. You've got Delandria here. You know, there's been more of a foundation that has been built. Does that mean that this is the complete product? That this is the end? No, of course not. I imagine Mike Grier is going to be active in free agency. I imagine that Mike Grier is going to be looking at more players that want to come play with what is happening in San Jose than what was previously the reality when we go into the last postseason. You know, it went from Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith being a cute story last year to now this year, Macklin Celebrini turning into one of the star players in the league and of the Olympic tournament, and people saying, oh, okay, this is a special talent in San Jose. This is, you know, something like a next generational talent. I want to go play with that guy. I want to go play with what's going on in San Jose. And the secret is out in that regard. And so I think the free agency will be more interesting. Do I think there are trades on the horizon? Potentially. No one's telling me specifically, hey, Ted, why don't you go broadcast on your team's podcast that we're going to make a trade? No, I'm just saying these are all within the realm of expectations for what Mike Grier is trying to do to figure out how to get this team to make it to the quote-unquote next level. And that is what everybody is trying to do for their franchise right now, because there is so much parity in the NHL. Everyone thinks they're not that far off. But San Jose has taken a big step forward this year, but it's this next step of being a cute, entertaining, fun team to turning into a team that's going to be in a playoff team consistently and be in true contention. That's where you want to grow towards. That's what Mike Grier is trying to figure out. And, you know, last night's game is a very clear example of where they need to get to. The game against Edmonton, a very clear example of where they need to get to. The games against St. Louis and Calgary, where they didn't quite show up when they needed to against teams that were behind them in the standings. That's where they need to get to where the wins against the teams you should beat are relatively automatic, and you should be able to beat the teams that you're in the same category with, and then you know continue to have that vaulting process up towards the top of the standings. It's always very linear when you get some guy like me explaining things. Always very linear. It is never that linear out there on the ice. But you take these steps to improve the team. This is not a quote-unquote finished product. In sports, it really never is a finished product. But you have to take assessments of what this team was during this season, where they're going to be headed, who you can get in free agency, what you're going to have in the draft, and go from there. And again, Mike Grier has assets to work with. Mike Grier has moves he can make. Mike Grier has the ability to improve this team. It's not just the squad you see right now is the be-all, end-all of what the San Jose Sharks are at this moment in time, what they will be, where it goes from there. So these are the things that I'm looking at. You know, I don't know, you know, who's coming back, Ferraro, Desharnais, Klingberg, etc. You go down the list when talking about the defensemen. You know, obviously Reeves is a UFA. I would hope that he gets to continue his career in San Jose just because I don't want, you know, a hand injury to be where it ends for him. And I think he's got a great impact on the room. But obviously he's, you know, getting towards the later stages of his 30s. And, you know, we know that Father Time is undefeated. So these are just the things that I ponder around my head right now, because as the game ended last night, I started thinking about, you know, what sort of a lineup we might be looking at next year with San Jose, just out of sheer curiosity, just because I start wondering. And I, you know, I was thinking about the top line next year. Could it be Chernyshov, Mack, and Will? And then the second line, could that be Eklund, Misa, and Graf? And then the third line, could it be Toffoli, Wenberg, and Sherwood? And then on the fourth line, could it be, you know, you've got some combinations here you could go with. You could go with Barclay Goodrow. You could go with Ty Dellandrea. You could go with Adam Gaudette. You could go with Zach Ostapchuk. You know, him and Dellandrea both have the ability to center a third or fourth line. You're also going to be looking, you know, more and more like a player like Pavel Regenda. What's his future with the franchise? And then you're looking at Quentin Musty and, you know, Bisted and Lund. And those are the things that you start wondering about, because there is a strong future here in San Jose. And those are just the guys that look like they're relatively, you know, ready to go. And so we'll see, you know, we'll see what's coming next for San Jose. It's very exciting because, you know, so much of this is, you know, built from your franchise. I mean, look at that top line. That's Will, Mack, and Chernyshov. Draft. Eklund, and then Misa, draft. And then you have a Graf that you acquired undrafted. And then you go to, you know, that line of 73, 21, and 44. That's, you know, a free agent acquisition in Wenberg, and then, you know, a free agent acquisition in a guy like Toffoli, and then Sherwood, and an acquisition and a trade. I love it. Again, I love these things. These are great moves for the San Jose Sharks to be able to bring guys like in, and I don't have a problem with any of those guys. You know, they all look very, very solid. You know, do I want to see Will Smith continue to up his game? Of course. Will Smith needs to be more aggressive. Will Smith needs to be more physical. Will Smith needs to be more of a two-way player. And I know there are people who are going to say, well, he can't be a two-way player. Ted, that's not his game. I'm sorry, that's not how championships are built. You improve your game. Igor Chernyshov still has a lot to learn about the NHL. Macklin Celebrini, for all that we praise him as the second coming, his game still has a tremendous amount of room for improvement. He doesn't turn the puck over as much as he did last year, but he still turns the puck over, and that's something he needs to work on. And when he takes his chances, these aren't criticisms. These are just realities and things he can improve upon. William Eklund, he needs to work on his finishing, as I talk about that potential second line of the future. Michael Misa, I think, you know, everything needs to improve, but I think you see more and more bursts of his game, of the speed, of the hands. God, he's got soft and quick hands, by the way. That's the thing I'm noticing more and more about him. Colin Graf, if the hockey gods were to create a hockey player that was going to be someone who just took care of his business on the ice, it would be Colin Graf. His game is not perfect by any means, but he does not have any significant flaws, and it looks like his game is only going to be pointed forward from here on out. He's turning into a power forward. Love his game. I mean, obviously, 73, 21, and 44, Toffoli, Wenberg, and Sherwood, there's not a lot that you can complain about those guys' games. They are complete. Then after that, it gets a little bit more unknown. But, you know, that forward grouping, the San Jose Sharks, you know, if you look at those top three lines, that's pretty dangerous, right? I mean, that's danger out there on the ice. That's creative playmaking ability. If you combine that with some upgrades on the defensive end, not that I'm knocking on anyone that's with San Jose's D-Core right now, these are just the realities you have to look at. These are what you have to be very, very clear about. And while as much as I love all these guys who are on the Sharks squad this year, you can love guys or you can get better for the future. Now, does that mean that certain players can get better? Of course it does. Does that mean that certain players' roles can change if they're paired with a different type of player? Of course. I'm just saying that's the glaring issue right now, is that the Sharks' D-Core needs to be better and their team defense needs to be better. It's not just the D-men. It is the entirety of the Sharks' structure overall. Sometimes you see them, you know, not getting back in time. There's some bad changes at times. There are some structural breakdowns. You see guys not boxing out down low. You see guys doing a little bit too much of puck watching, a little bit too much of puck chasing. These are all part of the realities of a young, inexperienced team that will continue to get better. And hopefully by next year, they will be pointed, you know, at a much more higher level so that they don't start out the year 0-4-2, that they don't put themselves in a big hole like that, so that they can, you know, hit the ground running a year from now, because we're not going to see as much roster turnover. I mean, I just explained what I thought we would see in the top three lines. And I think that when you have guys, you know, looking at their games that way, you know, it lends itself to being a higher level team. And not to say that I'm ignoring the fourth line right now, because I don't know what that's going to look like. You know, I don't know what Barkley Goodrow is going to do. I don't know what, you know, we're going to see from a Ryan Reeves, like I said. I don't know what Ty Dellandrea's role is going to be. I don't know what we're going to see from Adam Gaudette. I don't know if Pavel Regenda is still going to be around. But Zach Ostapchuk, man, his game continues to impress me week after week after week. He really looks like he is a part of this team's future. And just his speed, his overall willingness to be physical. Again, I always appreciate him because he's a good interview, and I enjoy being able to sit down and talk to him, and he gives some very level-headed answers. And, you know, I enjoy the guy in other instances when I've just been able to chat with him in general. But it's fun, man. It's fun watching this team start to develop before your eyes, even if they're not there yet. Even if last night is a relatively eye-opening example of where they are not yet, it's still fun to watch. And again, the future, even if last night's loss was disappointing, it's very, very bright. Let's get into some post-game sound. I want to get to Nedeljkovic first. I think Ryan Warsawski was a little ticked off and didn't give lengthy answers, as he's known to do, which I can't blame him. But Alex Nedeljkovic last night, man, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a future broadcaster or a future coach, but when I listen to him talk about the game, he makes things so darn clear that it's like, oh, he sees it all. He sees every aspect of the game, and he's not afraid to talk about it either. He's very, very honest and open, and man, I appreciate what he had to say after the game last night. I think you'll enjoy it as well.
Especially against a team that's playing pretty well like them, and you know, for us, we're fighting for points, we're fighting for our lives right now. So we didn't show up.
Was there something pregame? How were you guys feeling? You know, you said that you guys weren't ready to play. Anything you could sense, I guess, before the game?
I don't know. I don't know.
Just for yourself, any of those goals that you kind of want back, that maybe you saw that you want back?
Yeah, I'd like them all back. I mean, we're fighting for our lives, like I said, right? Like, I'd love to save every puck. It feels like, you know, that's something that we probably need right now to get out of this slump. You know, so, you know, we got to have a night where I just, you know, we figure out a way to make every save, and it's not always going to happen. I mean, you know, they make a nice play. You know, we don't get the puck out of the zone on the first one. They make a nice play, tic-tac-toe back. They find a guy back door. You know, maybe the second one, 2-on-1. Yeah, I'd love to have that one a shot that beats me clean. You know, that could be maybe a little bit of momentum changer. Maybe it stops their momentum a bit. You know, it stays 1-1. The third one, we don't get a puck out of the zone again. One of the best defensemen in the league gets a puck. You know, we don't want to pay the price to get the puck out or block a shot, and he's able to pull it around us and find a lane to score. Yeah, I don't know. I could go on. We didn't come ready to play in the first period, and that's what happens in this league when you don't come.
After the first, it seemed like there was a more of a north-south game from you guys. So was that the message after the first period?
That was how we have to play the entire from here going forward. I mean, it's simple hockey. We didn't, you know, we get the puck in the zone, and then we're free to make plays. Absolutely, we have a lot of skill in this locker room, a lot of talent. When we get in the zone, you know, that's where the creativity is going to come out. But we have to get in the zone first of all. We can't take pucks back. We can't delay momentum, delay, and it just sets them up into their system and their structure that they want to get in, and then we're trying to figure out what we're trying to do. We got five guys on five different pages, and it's not winning hockey. So, you saw in the second, they probably sat back a little bit there in the second and third period. They got a four-goal lead after both periods. Like, you know, they weren't cheating the game. They weren't going to cheat for offense. And it's hard. And we controlled a lot of the play, and we started putting pucks on net, and chaos ensued. We got a few goals just because we put pucks to the net. That's how you're going to win, and that's how you're going to score at this time of year. You're not going to score pretty goals like, you know, making 3-4 passes in the end zone and finding a guy wide open back door. It's just not going to happen. So we need to take what we can from these last two periods and find a way to just move on.
Do you feel like the last couple weeks or so, there's been some talk about, you know, you guys have maybe some of the guys have been, you know, gripping sticks tight. Have you kind of felt that maybe a little bit in game?
Maybe, but I think it's just trying to do too much. Again, we're not playing simple hockey. We're trying to make that extra pass. We're trying to make pretty plays instead of just putting pucks on net, getting winning battles, winning 50-50 pucks, blocking shots, doing the little things. Like, that's, it's not the prettiest hockey, but it's winning hockey. And when you start to do the little stuff like that, that's when those lanes open up and the seams open up, and you can have those highlight reel passes in place. So, I don't know.
You're a leader in this room. Would that be kind of your sort of maybe your main message to everybody? Just simplify, I guess.
I think it's all of us right now. I mean, we're 70 games into the year, whatever it is. Like, you know, whether it's your first year in the league, your 20th year in the league, it doesn't matter. Like, hockey, winning hockey is the same at every single level, right? Like, it's dumb. When you dumb it down, it's the same at every single level. And right now, we have to get back to playing simple, straightforward north-south hockey.
The reason why I think that's so unique for Nedeljkovic to speak at such length is because a lot of times goalies will remove themselves from the discussion of the play on the ice because they are anchored by the net, relatively speaking. But to hear him talk about what he's seen, to hear him talk about the possession, to talk about the breakout, to talk about playmaking, I mean, that's why I'm thinking, oh, man, he really, really sees the ice very, very well, because you don't often hear guys talk about it that way. You know, I think about Waugh going on to his coaching career, and not that Nedeljkovic is Waugh, but I do think that when a guy talks about it like that, you see that he is looking at things from a very system-based, tactical-based, however you want to phrase it. He's seeing things a little bit differently, and the watching, you know, the game from a different perspective than the just that of the goalie. He's watching the system in play. He's watching the team play. He's watching everything in a different way. You know, you don't really hear goalies talk about, you know, breakouts and, you know, taking it through the neutral zone and establishing zone possession, because that's not specific to their game. So, yeah, I mean, Nedeljkovic, I loved everything he had to say there. And I'm going to listen to this again just because I thought it was just a fascinating, fascinating bit of insight from him. Let's hear from Will Smith last night, who had a good game, obviously, and broke his goalless drought. But obviously the team needed more than just Will Smith scoring.
Long in that first period there.
I think just giving up too many chances. It's hard to, you know, come back in certain games when you're down by that many goals.
After the first period, it seemed like there was a message of play more north-south, simplify. Was that the message?
Yeah, definitely. I think as a whole group, we just got to simplify. And I think when we shoot ourselves in the foot, it's hard to win games.
Is that how you guys have to play the rest of the year, that kind of hockey, what you guys did after the first period?
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's tough when you're already down a couple goals. But I think in some games, you just got to stick with it.
Concerning that you came out to, you know, kind of that flat in the first period against the team you're chasing in the standings, who's already in a wild card position.
Definitely. I think we've all said it. We know how big these points are, and we know where they are in the standings and where we are, but you can't worry about that. We just got to, you know, learn from this and get back to it.
Have you felt that it's been said by a couple of your teammates that you guys have been gripping sticks a little tight the last couple of weeks? Have you kind of seen that a little bit?
Maybe a little bit, but I think we all just want to get in the playoffs, but I think we just got to worry one game at a time.
What have you learned so far about just playoff-like hockey the last couple of weeks, last month?
Yeah, everyone wants to be in it. It's intense. And if you don't play winning hockey, you're not going to get in.
What did you think about Igor Chernyshov's game, adding him back into your line tonight?
Yeah, it's great having him in the lineup. I think every time he's up with us and playing his game, he's awesome, and it's great to have him around.
Did you see that kind of on your second goal there, where you kind of occupied a lot of the tension and you were just able to kind of slip it there on for your second goal there?
Yeah, he made a great play there. He drove it deep and had Saros bite and then sent it to the back post, and luckily went in.
And what do you guys have to do now going forward just to pick each other up, stay positive?
Yeah, you said it there. We got to stay positive. We still got a bunch of games left, and I know it's coming down to the wire, but we got to stay with it.
No panic from Will Smith, which I appreciate. I know that people sometimes complain about his lack of complete game, but guys, he's in his second year in the NHL. He's still got a long way to go. Like, I keep on talking about the team, the individual players. This is not a complete product. This is still a product that is being worked out in real time before our very eyes. And I will give Will Smith a lot of credit. There is no panic in his game. He is not fazed by the loss last night. He does not sound overly concerned about what happened with the team. I think he's going to regather. You know, he had a big game last night. The Sharks need to continue to build off of that, get him rolling again, get Mac rolling, and try and push this thing to the finish line, because it is not over. Yes, they are running out of time, but it is not over by a long shot. All right, we are out of time. We will be back with you on Thursday as we've got another kind of mid-afternoon game. It's a 5 o'clock start time in St. Louis taking on the Blues. 4:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. San Jose looks to keep their playoff hopes alive. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.